views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Live an enlightened and authentic life by standing in your own power. The Silver Gaia Show with Dr. Bree Gibbs and co-host Stephanie Sills brings forth new information supporting the ascension process happening on the planet now. Dr. Bree travels multiple worlds bringing through the unknown ancient knowledge and messages to help you remember who you truly are and live a life with truth, trust, and passion. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Bree and Stephanie.
Welcome, everyone. I am so excited. This is Bree Gibbs of the Silver Gaia Show. You're listening to us on Transformation Talk Radio. I have an amazing special guest that we haven't heard from for a while. And no, she's not gone. Pepper Lewis is with us. I put that out and she is with us on. I'm going to bring her on right away. Pepper, how are you doing? I have missed you.
Hi, Bree. How are you?
I am fine. I have missed you so much, and I know the audience has, and I am just so glad you're back.
You know, I haven't really felt like I have been away, although I could call it a bit of a sabbatical or a hiatus, but I think because I have been in touch, either through email or phone or a small variety of ways, I think I've been here quietly in the background instead of the foreground, I think, for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we've all had to take that break, some of us. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it comes around when it does. I think sometimes we ask for a break. Sometimes life says to us it's time for a break, or our loved ones or the circumstances of life invite us or challenge us.
Right.
To take a break. And when we do, I think it's a great opportunity. But of course, we can always say this in hindsight. In hindsight, we're looking and saying, I can see exactly why I did do that or needed to do that or can now see things in a different way. But when we're going into that time, of course, it always looks a little different and a little scary. And we're asking ourselves, why is this happening? Why now? And I remember doing the same thing.
I know, like, I ended up having to come back to Washington to take care of my mother before she transitioned over. And it was like, okay, I can do this. But then I thought I'd go back. Oh, no, Spirit had plans for me to stay here in Washington. You know, I was like, okay, now I get the point why I had to come here. So I said,
well, that's definitely one of the things that, you know, caring for others is something that is presented to us at times, but we don't always have that perfectly planned. I could say the same thing as well. When I was taking time off, also both of my parents were aged and became ill and needed different kinds of care at the same time, and that was pretty challenging as well. And you know, there's nothing like having to really delve into a physical challenge in a way to have all of your spirituality come up. So there's no thinking that one excludes the other. If you're looking at physical challenges or the life of a loved one, you are looking at relationships, you're looking at health and well-being, you're looking at impermanence, maybe death, you're looking at whatever it is, whether it's grief or guilt or all of those things that come up, and there's no putting it off in those moments. And that is spiritual, is very, very quickly grounding, very spiritual.
Oh, very true. I mean, I went through so much in the last 3 years that I had my mom, right? And it was like, it hit every aspect that you were just talking about. Yeah, I mean, every aspect. And it was funny because it was like the last 3 years I had with my mom was probably the best open communication we had. You know, and it was just great. You know,
that's
and as
wonderful.
A child,
that's really good to hear.
Child growing up in the goddess light, right? And then even more, learning more from her till she was 78 when she left the planet. She even opened up about more stuff. And so we were able to even explore more things together. So it was great. So I want to talk a little bit about your background on channeling and your books and your seminars you've done. You know, where are you lately with all this?
Well, you know, I started, I think if I think back correctly, it would be back around 1994. The big trigger for me was the Northridge earthquake that we had. I was living in Los Angeles at that time. And up until that moment, I was just looking at all the beautiful heavens and, you know, aren't the angels beautiful and aren't the fairies lovely and all of this wonderful, enriching parts of life. And then this massive earthquake strikes our city, tears down buildings, kills people, displaces people, changes the look of everything. And the very thing that I considered holy, we could say, is the ground we walk on, right? The stability of that, right, of that ground. And that launched me into a questioning of what is this earth that we are walking upon? What relationship do we have with the earth? Does it owe us anything? Do we owe the earth anything? And, you know, what can we do to prevent this kind of shaking that's happening all over the world? And right, of course, there's answers to some of those things and not to any, but that launched a journey and a relationship with the earth in which the questions that I was asking, in some ways, I was getting answers. I was hearing them, I was feeling them, I was embodying them, and I let it into every aspect of my life. And good, it was a very interesting and a beautiful time in which the connections with everything that enriches the planet or animates the planet. So some of us call that Gaia.
Right.
Sometimes people call it anima mundi these days, which is the force that animates Gaia. So that's becoming a popular term these days, or having a resurgence in that. And because it was so connected to, I think, a time when the New Age, as we can talk about, it was really in its heyday or really thriving, the word channeling quickly became associated with that. And me not knowing what else to call that when you're communicating and feeling and sensing everything that the earth is, it was really wonderful. And so that is how my name, Pepper Lewis, became associated with Gaia. And from that, yeah, there came several.
That's a question. Is how did your name connected with Gaia like that? How did it connect?
You know, I don't ever remember being the first to say, yes, I'm communicating with the earth and the earth is called Gaia. But at the time that I was doing that, the popularity of the James Lovelock book, which is called the Gaia Hypothesis,
right,
which is really one of the first times that science began to say that there is a real strong connection between atmospheric conditions and human thoughts and activity upon the earth, and that science should really take a look at this, for which he was quickly ousted and maligned in all of these scientific circles and had to really work to regain his footing again. So, at that time, the word Gaia was used a lot, and it was also a time when the books, the Conversations with God books of Neil Donald Walsh, were also very popular. So having a conversation with anything or anyone was quickly embraced and called channeling. And so those two things together brought about Pepper Lewis and Gaia, and the books that I published as well along the lines Gaia Speaks, so Wisdom for an Awakening Humanity, and the other books that came in that progression. And so Pepper Lewis became the world's channel for the Gaia teachings. And it was wonderful. It was a really, really wonderful time of writing, channeling, teaching seminars, teaching people how to do what I was doing. Felt very, very empowering and enriching. And I traveled all over the world and met people from so many different countries.
Yes,
and thoroughly enjoyed all of it.
Great. I mean, you traveled everywhere. And I know that I've read all your books, and it's like, you know, I could use more.
Working on it.
Good. There we got a sneak preview, guys. She is working on it. So anyway, but the one thing that I really like is your authentic self that you are. And, you know, and your truth that you stand in. I really am amazed by that. And that's what we're about at the Silver Goddess Show, is about standing in your truth, being who you are. How do you feel about that?
Well, yeah. Thank you for saying that. It is one of the, that desire and need to express authenticity is really what I stand for. And in some strange way, it's also the very reason that for a time I had to walk away from everything and take a back seat. So it did, as I say, coincide with the time that I needed to care for my parents. It was almost, you know, forced that way. But right. At the same time, as I had been traveling so much, I had an opportunity to be on many different stages and presentations and videos and classes with other teachers, other presenters at the time. And at its height, all of this, it's very hard to be presenting material all of the time and not and have... how can I put this? The need or the hunger for something new, bring new material, bring new awareness, bring a new book, bring a new seminar was so much part of the culture of that time that, to put it nicely, it went further than what authenticity showed, allowed, at least where I was concerned. It became sensational. It became a little bit too otherworldly. I began to think that it was less grounded in provable or experiential ways. So someone can stand on a stage and say to the audience, this is what you're going to feel, and this is what you're going to see, and this is the world we're moving into, and take my word for it. But we should, at some level, be able to know that and experience that as truth for ourselves. And what I was seeing is that we could not do that. And it was going further and further. And, you know, the New Age sort of drove itself that way. The publishers were driving it. The seminar leaders were driving it. The forecasts for the Mayan calendar and other astrological events were driving it. It was almost like it became something that was on its way, on its own, like a driverless car. And the more of that I saw, it seemed nearing the danger point to me, a boiling point, a danger point. And I wasn't sure exactly how it would end or what would happen. And I just decided for myself, I really, you know, didn't really speak to anyone else really about it, but I decided for myself that I needed to pull back and observe it, become have an objective reality to it instead of a subjective one. And the only way that I could find to do that is just to begin to gently pull back and then eventually just take some time off altogether and just study it, observe it, see for myself who was doing what, who was saying what, and what, if anything, I wanted to stay aligned with.
Okay, so we need to take a short break, but let's stick with this when we get back. We're back in a few minutes with more with Pepper Lewis.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Suzanne Evans. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spiritualdeed.com.
The earth is an ever-changing being. Goddess Light Shamanic Healer Bree Gibbs guides us through the ascending worlds and brings forth knowledge and truth. As a light creator, she is here to provide new information needed at this time in our evolution. Join Bree as she shares messages from guides, spirits, ascended masters, goddesses, and others. Tune in Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific for the Silver Gaia Show and live the authentic life.
Are you ready to thread your life with intuition? Intuit Apparel can help you do just that. This is not just about a piece of clothing. This is about a movement, an awakening, and staying centered in life. Your life. Intuitive and host of the radio show Get Into It, Lynn Brown, was given this image with the intention of a clothing line designed to represent the essence of life itself. Visit intuitapparel.com now and wear your intuition with pride.
Have you wanted to make more money without working harder or more? Maybe you've tried new ways to bring in extra income without success. Hi, my name is Deb Acker, and in addition to being the host of Truth Talk Radio, I'm an intuitive life coach and energy healer. I clear energy blocks to all areas of life, including abundance. Did you know many times we have an invisible income ceiling? So no matter what we do, our income never goes up, or if our income does go up, we experience an unexpected expense that negates this. How much would it be worth to significantly increase your income or even have unexpected income show up? When I was in the corporate world, I used these techniques to increase my income by tens of thousands of dollars without changing my work routine. In fact, I worked even less, and I now help clients do the same. If this resonates for you and you're truly ready for abundance in your life, I'd love to gift you with my pattern identification session. Simply contact me on the contact page of my website, deborahacker.com. That's deborahacker.com. And let me know you heard about this gift through Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to connecting soon.
Welcome back, everyone. We're with Pepper Lewis. So, Pepper, the new age, where is it today?
When you say the new age in some circles, it sounds like this brilliant light. We're all happy to hear the word, and you hear the word in other circles, and people are saying things like, oh, this isn't one of those new age things, you know. Right. So it's quickly it's a downer for some people, and I think that it's a little bit of everything. I think the new age deserves a badge of courage for what it brought forward, because it pulled from so many different teachings from different parts of the world, from ancient and new. It took in, you know, as the Statue of Liberty says, the huddled masses from all the people that needed, for whatever reason, to move away from their traditions, from their religions that they were born into, from people that were saying you're wrong or that's not true. It gave a safe haven for so much. And I love the New Age for that. And it gave me a platform on which to stand. And I love it for that as well. And at the same time, I would say that it in some ways went too far, as we said, maybe in your last segment. It went too far with claims that were not true, could not be true, selling whatever, ice cubes to, you know, to people in Alaska, right, or preaching to the choir, or it went a little bit too far in ways that it didn't need to go. And it's a good thing that it has scaled back. So I'm glad it was here. It's kind of hard to define exactly where it started. There's some people that say that the New Age started with the teachings of Madame Blavatsky in the last century. There's people that say that it had a resurgence again, even with the Beatles going to India and bringing meditation and different other ideas and popularizing these ideas and all of this. And then again with channeling or astrological events or the whole movement on angels. So it seems to have a resurgence every number of years and is reborn under a slightly different name. I would like to say, you know, today, maybe you've already heard about it already, but the word mindful has already been so used and overused as to be called a movement, the mindfulness movement.
Right.
Even Time magazine's already had that on its cover. So
oh, wow.
We could say right now that here it comes again under that name, even though in truth, in true Buddhism, mindfulness means something a little bit different in the way that it's being used today. But here comes the new age again. So it never really goes anywhere. It just kind of reinvents itself. It becomes a new formula for the time and the needs or the generation that's inviting it.
Uh-huh. No, I get that because I've had some struggles with the new age part of it myself. So I'll be honest about that, you know, and people are like, going, why does that bother you? I said, I think too far. That's my opinion, you know, and
it's a little bit like what we talk about the Iraq war. We say I was for it before I was against it.
right. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a little ancient here and of wisdom. And, you know, so growing up in the ancient wisdom that I did, and now that it's all blending together now, it's kind of softening it, do you think, a little bit, the new age part?
It is. I think it is softening it. There are some who, you know, who cling to the older versions of it, and that's understandable. If there are teachers or teachings that made the most significant difference to us, we will hold on to that or hold that in high esteem, high regard. And I think it's changing. I think it's good to allow it to change, to become something else. And we'll criticize that next time. We'll have our favorite again, and we'll call it something else. And it's human nature to raise something to its highest, you know, to its highest standing, you know, put it on a platform or a throne, and then knock it down when the next thing comes around. So we have to acknowledge that side of ourselves as well.
Okay. So what pitfalls can we avoid?
With spirituality, I think when we see something that looks overly trendy, or we see everyone running in that direction, maybe it's the newness of it that is more exciting, and maybe we can ask ourselves if it really can stand the test of time. Does it put a ground underneath our feet? Is it something that we can experience for ourselves, or only something that someone else is telling us exists? Just take my word for it, or just buy this program, or if it's something that asks a lot of money of us, you know, can ask ourselves, do we really need it? And is there another way to get to the same place or the same thing? All of those are small pitfalls, I think, that we can avoid or save ourselves.
Right. I agree with you because there's so many people out there, and I always tell people, be your own guru, you know, look for things, you know, I've mentioned your books before and other people's books, and, you know, that's just my opinion. And I always say if it doesn't resonate with you, then don't accept it. But I've seen people follow people like they're this big, huge guru, and they go to lengths to be with them as a following.
Yes.
And that's scary sometimes for me.
Yeah. It's also relative and interesting. You know, here's two words for the, some teachers who I really respect are lamas. I have two teachers and I greatly respect them. And I see them from time to time. And so, Lama Pema, Lama Yeshe. So the word lama means teacher.
Right.
It's a Tibetan word. The Sanskrit, the very similar, very same exact, really Sanskrit word is guru. But how we relate to the word guru today is completely different than how we relate to the word lama. Lama seems soft. There's a teacher. There's someone who sounds like, well, that sounds like someone who walks their own truth, someone who walks lightly. Guru, that sounds like someone who's going to tell you what to do and how to do it and that you should follow them. So all of these things, it's interesting to see how they call to us and how we relate to it as well. I have been in the presence of some teachers where being in the same room with them feels as if somehow I have become slightly kinder, slightly further along the path, slightly more heart open space to all other people in the world. And I have to say, well, what is that? What is that about this person who, without even saying anything, it wasn't their message, it wasn't anything, all they really did is walk in the room and sit down. So there, right. I have to say, well, maybe there goes someone who's a living example of having studied or lived or practiced in a way that I can use as a living example. So in that way, I would definitely say, pay attention to those teachers. What can we learn from them? What do they know, or what have they learned that we could also learn? And if you do meet people like that, the last thing that they want is to be put on a pedestal or any kind of a raised platform. They're usually very, very humble. So one, right. of the other things we could, right. watch out for is ego. Someone who loves that kind of adulation. Someone who can't wait to be in the forefront or to be told how great their book is, how great their teaching is. And so those are things that we need to be careful of as well. How much of our own energy we're investing in someone else.
You know, I'm really glad you said that, because that's the part I was concerned about, is the ones that are put on that pedestal and then they fall off of it. And then I worry about, I don't want to say it. It's not fear. It's like, where are we going to help them now? How can we reach out to them and help them? You get what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. So we have about a minute left before we have to take a break. So you want to add something real quick before we have to take a break?
I would. I could say that I have also known some teachers who have fallen off of that pedestal or been knocked off of it as well. And in some ways that could be their learning. You know, the higher we go, in some ways, it doesn't have to be that the lower we fall, but in some cases it has been that way. And there is some humility learned in that, and some have come back in a very sweet and generous way, and others, right. haven't. I've known others that have just completely just reinvented themselves, brought back the next new prepackaged form of whatever they're selling. Here's the next version, the next three levels to buy into,
right.
and
right.
off they go. So we can't say that everyone learns from the experience of falling.
Right. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more with Pepper Lewis, so stay tuned.
Dr. Bree Gibbs is a fourth-generation high priestess with the knowledge to raise your vibration and conscious creation. Offering a wide variety of services, from goddess light and shamanic healing seminars to private reading sessions, Bree works with you so you too can stand in your own power. Isn't it about time you took your life into your own hands? For more information about Bree's services and products, visit silvergaia.net. That's silvergaia.net.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
You, yes you, can be the highest version of yourself. Wellness coach and natural beauty expert Dr. Agnes Frankel is on a mission to help you play the game of your life. Win in vibrancy, health, and beauty. Because you deserve it. Dr. Agnes goes beyond the limits in her personal coaching sessions to revolutionize health and wellness. Now is the time to unleash your true power. For more information, visit dragnesfrankel.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm so excited, Pepper. I can't even say it right. Welcome back, everyone. We're Pepper Lewis. Pepper, what is modern and mature spirituality?
Well, I suppose we could call that my reinvented words that kind of describe my own journey and that I'm happy to share with others. And you know, in some ways, we've spent all this time and we know what a human being is, but in some ways we're still trying to figure out what being human means. What do we do with our humanness and where does the meaning of life and things come in? So we start our spiritual journey or any journey and we get to experience ourselves in a variety of ways, you know, through people and places and all the things we encounter along the way. And so we experiment with life in that way. And as we look about our life, we start to think that some of our brighter moments are wonderful and enriched, and some of our lesser moments are entangled, or we might call them failed experiments or lessons learned, but all part of the journey. But then for most of us, somewhere along the way from here to there, or A to B, beginning to end, whatever we tend to call it, we might discover that we keep coming back to a similar place, a crossroads that looks almost the same as it did last time, but a little bit different, familiar patterns and surroundings. And then at some point, we start to wonder if we're really actually going anywhere. Did we get anywhere? And if there is actually anywhere to go. Uh-huh. And I think when we get to that place, if we can pause for a moment and if we can sit in that gap for just a little bit, which can feel uncomfortable and empty or sad or lonely or frustrating, and we might even have one of those thoughts that say, is this it? Is that all there is? Is there nowhere to go? And if we can make it through those difficult moments, then we're on the edge of what I'm calling mature spirituality, which in essence is that part of us that awakens, that comes into being. And so in the moments or years following that kind of realization, that's where the maturity part comes in. What do we want to do with that awareness? How do we now become fully alive and engaged spiritually? Uh-huh. So does that make sense? I'm really just kind of unfolding this as we speak, and I'm hoping it makes sense.
Oh, no, it's making perfect sense. So what, I mean, you know, I love that tagline. I wish I could use it. You wrote it and I can't.
I feel that way about a lot of things other people write. I'm like, why didn't I think of that first?
Can I please use that one? Modern mature spirituality versus ancient ones. We're still alive. We're still working. Okay, so I have to throw that in there once in a while. Okay. What's engaged spirituality?
Engaged spirituality is a little bit different than that. And that, like mindfulness, in some ways, it's one of those terms that is becoming, has a popular resurgence again, even though it's a term that's really been around for a long time. So essentially, engaged spirituality is what we do at the experiential level. It's how we put our thoughts into action. You know, if people said, you know, put your money where your mouth is in terms of of a financial way, if we were to say that to ourselves in a spiritual sense, that's what engaged spirituality is. It's what we do with the principles that we really believe in or choose to adhere to. It's the practical part of spirituality. It's how we take ourselves on the road or out into the street, or off my, you know, my Buddhist center would say off the cushion, you know, out into the into the real world. And so what do we do in that way? So it's a term that's used that way. It's also being used very much by people who are now combining social thought or new social thought, social change as spirituality. And so they're calling that engaged spirituality. So there are engaged Buddhists, there are engaged Christians, you know, they're using it as how we take action into the world. Ecologists are using that that word now as well. So it really is the application of our spiritual principles in human and social events there. That would define it, I would think. Is that a term that you've heard in your circles as well?
Some of it, and I'm just amazed with it, because the engagement of spirituality to me also is the maturity of it. And that's the way I feel, at least, you know, and I'm just going, wow, I'm listening to you just in awe right now. I want you to know that. And I have got to love this, because I mean, there's so much that I want to hear from you. And so, but, you know, I want to go back to the modern mature spirituality for just one second.
Sure.
As we grow and we awaken, and the sparkles of lights that you had talked about, that's all in the mature spirituality, you know, on your bio that we did. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of it right there. What about some of the younger children that are growing up now that are seeing the things that, you know, took some of us years to see? They're seeing it now, and we're trying to explain it to them. What would you recommend?
Yes, I love that part. And you know, to be honest, during this hiatus that I took, which I really wasn't sure whether I really wanted in some ways to come back into the public forum or not. And one of my sons, who is, let's see, he'll be 26 in a few weeks. And he said, you know, he said, Mom, he said, one of these days, he said, you know, I really want you to just sit down and talk to people my age and see how they view life, because they get it. They got it. And, you know, you would not be wasting your time or restating what you already stated. You would see that you and them together would carry things so much further and faster at this point. And so I do believe that. I absolutely have confidence and trust in the younger generations, in all of them, to have vision and to have the ability, the capacity. And not everyone feels that way. You know, we look at, you know, I know other people who will look at the younger generations and say they are stuck on their Facebook page. They are, you know, stuck in this place or the other. And we just don't see how easily and how quickly their minds work and how they view social technology, social engineering, social communication. It's just another aspect of life to them. And they're not nearly as stuck on it as we are thinking, as we are stuck in thinking that they're stuck in it.
Right.
So
right.
It's a confidence. It's a confidence in the future and in the generations, and that they will, in some ways, they're not carrying the burdens that we carried of having to shrug off maybe the traditions and religions that we were born into. They are much more free, in most cases that I'm aware, to go forward into the unknown without carrying as much baggage as we carried. And, you know, the generation before mine would probably say that about ours. And so maybe we do give that as a gift to the future generations.
And you know, that's really true, because I'm raising my stepson, and he's going to be 18 pretty soon, and he's been living with us since he's been 9. And that kid at 9, and even before he moved in with us, right, and living with his mom, was like, he could pick out stones, hear them talk, right? And he could also work a pendulum better than most adults I've ever seen. And now he's over 18.
Well, sure.
And it's just, wow. And he's got it. You know?
Yes.
And and what you're talking about, the technology and everything, it's like he's so advanced.
The best thing we can do for the younger ones is to get them out of the systems that we have saddled them with as quickly as possible, as quickly as we can reinvent another way for education to come forward in a more organic way. They will learn more quickly in a less institutionalized sense. I'm a big proponent of that.
Right. I always thought about it. We should start another type of school for kids. You know.
Yes.
Washington State studies of everything that they have to have in school, but also a part of it where they can learn and embrace their abilities at the same time. That's my.
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
There was an
experimental educational system that I had read about at one point where each age, let's say the 5-year-olds taught the 4-year-olds, and the 6-year-olds taught the 5-year-olds, and the 17-year-olds taught the 15-year-olds, and like that. And the progression was truly amazing. And yes, there was overseeing there as well. It was an overseen program. It was not completely left to the devices of children, but it was a successful experiment, and leads me to think that there's lots of other possibilities.
All right. Well, we need to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of Pepper Lewis and the Silver Guy Show.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a 2-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
The Earth is an ever-changing being. Goddess Light Shamanic Healer Bree Gibbs guides us through the ascending worlds and brings forth knowledge and truth. As a light creator, she is here to provide new information needed at this time in our evolution. Join Bree as she shares messages from guides, spirits, ascended masters, goddesses, and others. Tune in Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific for the Silver Gaia Show and live the authentic life.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Tune in to The Michael Shane Show, the third Tuesday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and connect with the ascended beings to raise your vibration and manifest the life you desire. Get ready to receive healing through the transphysical mediumship of Reverend Michael Shane and the ascended beings. Visit MichaelShane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L, Shane.com, and call 425-971-6632 to schedule your full healing session now.
Are you tired of being bloated and nauseous? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know eating unhealthy foods eventually leads to an unhealthy digestive system? Did you know eating the most healthy, nutritious food doesn't necessarily result in a healthy body? The stomach must be healthy in order to properly digest, metabolize, and utilize even the best of nutrition. Without proper digestion from the stomach through the intestinal tract, the nutritious value is not absorbed, and the improperly digested food can be more toxic to your body than helpful. You can be doing all the right things and getting all the wrong results. In fact, other organs may also be interfering with your stomach's ability to digest. With CRA, we are able to determine the specific cause of the digestive issue and use the proper nutrition to correct the imbalance. Contact us today for your appointment at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Bree with Silver Guys Show. We're finishing up with Pepper Lewis, and I hate to have this last segment, and then I have to let her go. So let's get as much information as we can get. Pepper, what do you feel about the present condition of the earth today?
Well, I tend to be an optimist where that is concerned. And, you know, you have to catch me on the right day. There's days where too many newsletters come into my inbox that, you know, for instance, this week was the coral reefs off of Australia have been pronounced officially dead, or the end of the coral reefs, or any hope that they will come back from their present condition. And some other news like that was very challenging to read this week. But at the same time, I think about everything that I'm either not reading or the beauty that I see around me. I have the pleasure of living in the Pacific Northwest with a view of the Cascade Range. And it's awe-inspiring every single morning that I see it. The colors of autumn that I'm seeing around me, and seeing nature go to sleep, reawaken in the spring. All of these things that happen every year are inspiring. And I know that the resilience of the earth and humanity's ability to learn, whether it's to learn from its mistakes or to learn from its own curiosity, adventures, and artistic nature, I'm an optimist where the earth is concerned. And at the same time, I absolutely acknowledge that this is a great time of change. We need to have our eyes and ears open, pay attention to our surroundings, tune into all of our senses, not take any of that for granted, and really look at where we're living and how we want to live.
That's very true. Very true. I know that I looked out today out of my office window and I'm going, wow, the leaves are off the tree. And I'm going, well, time for a rest for some of the elementals. I was thinking personally about. So are things as bad as we really see and hear right now globally?
I do think that they are. I'm a realist in that way as well. So I can't take that for granted. I do think that the condition of the world that we know today is in jeopardy. But I'll say that the earth and the world are not the same. So when I see the earth, I'm talking about the physical earth,
right,
and the kingdoms of nature and the elements and their ability to renew themselves with or without humanity upon the earth.
Right.
But when I see the world, the structures that we have created, the systems that we have created, the technologies, all of that, I see that it's not leading to a better, improved world, and it more than likely will find some conclusion. And but while that's happening, new beginnings are always taking place. I don't necessarily believe that there is a hard ending and the next beginning. All of those things are happening even while we're speaking right now. There's endings and beginnings. You know, one of the things I read a long time ago had to do with Neanderthals, at the time that Neanderthals and the kind of, you know, basic human beings that we have evolved into now were present upon the earth. And one of the things that is theorized by people who study them, I wouldn't know exactly what science that is, but that they stopped dreaming of a future once they saw much more of another species that had gone beyond them in some way. They stopped dreaming of what they would do tomorrow or something. And so that inability to reinvent themselves or to recreate, redream a new dream is what brought more of an end to the Neanderthal than anything to do with their tools or the environment or the weather or anything like that. And I wonder, I think about humanity as we know it today, if that couldn't be true today, that when we see so many systems and we just can't think of a way for it to get better, we just don't know how government can become government again because it's become so political. We don't know how to bring education to every child or a university education anymore. And we can't dream of a way to make these things happen. And I wonder if that's not some of those ending signs that would also trigger other beginning signs.
Right. And that's what I'm feeling right now with just, and I'm really not into politics, but it's like what's happening right now is like an ending and a beginning is going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel. Is but it's going to be a new one. It's going to take a little bit of work, but we'll get there to a new beginning. So the other question I have for you is, looking into the future, what do you see?
Well, that's a good one. Well, as I don't know exactly how far into the future we're talking about, but as I look into the future, you know, pretty much what I've been saying here, the ending of some systems, the beginnings of others, some hard endings in some ways, some real open your eyes, hard endings, because I think in some ways that if we don't have it put before us in just that way, we'll keep saying we can fix it, or it can go on a little longer, or it's not completely broken yet. So I do think that in some ways things will have to be completely broken. I do see a resurgence in maybe the kind of spirituality that I'm describing, a new way to view things where we don't have to have a God or a religion or a certain set of belief systems, where we can really look within and find our own skillful ways to bring forward the things that would be healing for humanity, the things that are less harmful to ourselves, more helpful, more healthful to the earth. And so I do have that optimism as well, but I wouldn't want to kid you. If I painted it too pretty a picture, somebody would say, there she goes with that new age, with that new age colorful right. speech. And I don't see that. I do see a tough road ahead in many ways, but not one that challenging one, but one that we are up for as well. When I look at some difficult times in my life, they have been awful, difficult, hard to imagine. I would never ask for them, invite them ever again. But when I look back on them, I also see what I learned and how it made me stronger, more creative, more resilient, all these things. And I certainly don't think it's the only way to learn or to move forward, but it is a way that humanity seems to know really well.
I agree with you. I mean, I totally agree with you. I know, you know, my feeling is that we're going to have, it has to get a little worse before we can get it better, you know, and it's going to happen, but we will be better and the planet's going to survive and be just fine. You know, and that's when people are saying, nope, it makes it. Guy is going to be fine. The planet will be fine. Right. And that's what I tell people. So we have about 15 minutes left, Pepper. Oh, this is not long enough. I'm going to tell you that now. I'm telling you. So can you, let's recap a couple things. So you got the modern, mature spirituality we've talked about, engaged spirituality. And I think that's really important that people listen to that. And what's nice about
when we talk about the modern part, I think the modern part comes in as we begin to remodel some of these beliefs that we've just been talking about. That's the modern part. You know, how can we remodel some of these older traditions that really are not serving us any longer because we've outgrown them? How can we remain awake in the this modern complex world of ideas and technology that we're swimming in right now, and how do we still stay grounded, connected to nature and what matters most. So that's the modern part that we really need to apply.
I agree. So the one thing is, I want your get your contact information out, because people have been hearing about you're going to be on the show. So how can they reach you?
The easiest way to reach me is through my website. And I'll tell you now, it's not exciting. It's the old website that I sort of walked away from, but it's the way to find me now. So pepperlewis.com. You can also, I think it's also thepeacefulplanet.com also ties into the same one. You can email me from there. There's a phone number that you can call me on there. If you have suggestions, I'm in the process of creating a new site now. So if you have some suggestions of what you'd like to hear about or know about or in what form you'd like it to take, I'd love to hear from you as well. So that's the best way.
No, that's great, because the Peaceful Planet, listeners, you have to look at that. I was just like, Pepper, come on, let's get busy.
You can find me on Facebook. I'm not a great fan of it, but I'm there, so you can find me on Facebook and put your comments there. And I always write back. So if you do put some comments or something there, you will hear back from me.
Well, there we go, Pepper. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am so thankful. We've waited a long time to hear from you, and we're going to do some fun, exciting work together. That's just it.
Good. I like that. And I had great fun too. And my, gratitude to all of the listeners for tuning in and for participating and for caring about the earth and your own path. I so do honor the path that everyone chooses.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, because we just talked about that on Universal Laws too. So that's great. All right, Pepper. Well, thank you so much. And you enjoy the rest of your day.
My pleasure. Bye for now.
I want to thank everyone for being with me today and listening to our special guest, Pepper Lewis. Pepper and I will be doing some things in the future together. So stay tuned and keep listening to Silver Gaia Show, and have a great day.
You've been listening to The Silver Gaia Show. New energy has made its mark. Illuminate the human race. Join Dr. Bree Gibbs and Stephanie Sills each week, Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Each show is designed to share and discuss timely key messages and truths. Dr. Bree brings forth gods and goddesses, ascended masters, and others to communicate the information our world needs. For more about Dr. Bree or the Silver Gaia Show, visit silvergaia.net, and we'll see you next time.
The views of the guests and the callers on the preceding program do not necessarily reflect the views of the Silver Gaia Show.